Praise the Lord, saints. Will you stand with me? Let's turn to Psalms 29. Praise the Lord. The psalm says, "Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. He maketh them also to skip like a calf, Lebanon and Syrian like a young unicorn. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calve and discovereth the forest. And in his temple doth everyone speak of his glory. The Lord sitteth upon the flood, yea, the Lord sitteth king forever. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace." Heavenly Father, how great and marvelous is your name and how precious you are to us. Lord, we're so grateful for your grace and mercy upon each and every one of us. Lord, you have brought us through another week, Lord God. You have allowed us to come to this place, Lord God, that we together may worship you in the beauty of holiness. Father, we welcome you, Lord, and ask that you would come and have complete preeminence amongst us, Lord. We surrender our minds, our hearts, our lives to you, Lord, that you may speak to us this morning, that when we leave this place, you may speak through us. We ask, oh God, that you anoint each and every vessel here in a special way, Lord. Tenderize our hearts that we may hear, Lord, and believe. Anoint Brother Jack in a special way as he ministers, Lord, to your children, Lord. Continue to grant traveling mercies to our brothers and sisters that are alone coming to church this morning, Lord, and bless those who will not be able to make it. Keep them, each one, we pray. We commit all things into your hands now in Jesus Christ's name. Fees and
and I will cling to the old rugged cross, and its chains did stop, and its strength, hallelujah. Cross of Calvary. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen. It's certainly good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Praise the Lord. It's good to see you, saints. I'm glad you all pressed your way out this morning.
it all for me. Death could not hold you, no. You're the risen King. And you see
together for our God. Right now. talk about Buddha, Krishna, whoever you want, Allah. You can call them whatever you want to. Those are not gods. Jehovah, the Old Testament, Jesus. Amen. There's power in the name of Jesus because he is God. Amen, amen. You may have your seat, saints. We have a few specials this morning. Praise the Lord. Your sister Shonda here this morning. Caught you by surprise.
God bless you. Haven't practiced this with the musicians, but we're going to try it. Everything that happened to me that was good, God did it. Yes, he did. Oh, everything that happened to me that was good, God did it. Yes, he did. He picked me up, turned me around. He placed my feet on solid ground. Everything that happened to me that was good, God did it. Yes, he did. Oh, everything that happened to me that was good, God did it. Yes, he did. Oh, everything that happened to me that was good, God did it. Yes, he did. Once I was lost, living in a world of sin. Jesus came and he took me in. Everything that happened to me that was good, God did it. Yes, he did. Oh, everything that happened to me that was good, God did it. Yes, he did. Oh, everything that happened to me that was good, God did it. Yes, he did. Have you been sick? Thought you wouldn't get well, but Jesus healed your body. Now you can tell that everything that happened to me that was good, God did it. Yes, he did. Yes, who did it? Who did it? Yes, who did it? Yes, who did it? Woke you up this morning, started you on your way. Who gave you like mine? Who woke you up this morning? Yes, God did it. Yes, he did it. Oh, yes, he did it. Oh, yes, he did it. Who woke you up this morning, started you on your way. Gave you the eyes to see a brand new. Sister, but she can't do it. I went to the pastor, but he couldn't do it. I said, Lord, help me. Lord, won't you help me? Lord, won't you help me? Oh,
blessed us. Man, what more can we say about our God? Amen. Hit the key of E flat for me.
Amen.
Yeah.
Glory to God. Amen.
Hallelujah.
I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining each and every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I need you to help me sing. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland. Higher place than I have found. Oh Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Sing, Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table. Keeping each and every one of you. God bless you, brother. It's good to have you in the house of the Lord. God bless you, brother Jeff, my cousin. It's always great to see you. Amen. Good to have you in the house of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Happy birthday to Sister Cherise on Wednesday the 13th. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Amen. Holy Land deposits, $300, will be due this Friday, December 15th. The combined services, Rapture and Faith Tabernacles, December 17th at 6:30. To Have and to Hold Married Couple Session begins January 14th, to be announced. Amen. So keep all those things in mind. Amen. Please stand to your feet. We'd like to ask the brothers to come at this time. We'll take up this morning's tithing offering.
God, we just thank you for another opportunity, Lord God. You allow us to be back again to praise you and worship you, Father, Lord God. We just pray that we just lay aside everything that may hinder us, Father, Lord, from allowing you to enter in, Father, Lord. Pray, God, you bless the remainder of the service, Lord God. Bless Brother Jack and use him in a special way, God. Bless the offering, Lord Jesus, and bless those, Lord God, given from their hearts. It's in Jesus Christ's name.
Thank you.
You deserve it.
Jesus. Come on, every voice lifted. Everybody say, hallelujah. 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 All the glory, all the honor, all the praise that you deserve. The glory,
all of the glory belongs to you. Yes, it does. All of the glory belongs to you. All of the glory belongs to you. Yeah, yeah. All of the glory belongs to you.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Just for amen, a little bit. It's certainly a blessing to be in the house of the Lord. Very appreciate everything that has happened thus far in the presence of the Lord. Thank Brother Solomon for the worship leading and Sister Tina for the special. Just everything that's done thus far in his name. Amen. I really just love Jesus. It's kind of hard to believe that we're sitting in December. The year has really gone by pretty fast, and so much is happening right before our eyes, and I was just on Friday night talking a little to the church about some of the events that took place this week. It was very, to me, historic with what President Trump did regarding making Jerusalem the capital city of Israel. And I'm not one that really deals too much in politics, but I do follow scripture. And Brother Branham told us that if we want to know what time it is, then we should look at our watches or look at a clock. So if you want to know what day it is, then look at a calendar. And if you want to kind of get what time it is according to God's calculations, he said watch Israel. He told us to watch Israel, and the thing of what happened there, there was a statement made. I was reading it on CNN, and they were saying that it's been 7 decades since something like this has happened. It's been 7 decades, which would amount to 70 years. And, you start looking at the 70 years, then you have to go back and look at the 70 weeks of Daniel, right? So these are some things that we need to go back and listen to from the prophet. But as you start looking at, some of those things there, it just begins to kind of show you or just help you kind of align yourself appropriately with the event. So not only is it 70 years since something like this has occurred, next year, 2018, Israel will be celebrating 70 years of being a nation. Okay, and they just received, that status. They have been dispersed into so many different nations and lands. Some of that because of, you know, some of the things they did, as they just did not uphold the word of God. They would get dispersed, but God would always bring them back. While I was there, I told y'all about this garden I went into, and this man had a, he just got every tree in the Bible, you know, that you could find. In fact, these trees, he put them inside this garden, and he tells a story about every tree. So he had one of the young men say, "Now get up in this tree right here and just lay there, just lay in the tree." And he called a group together and said, "Anybody know what tree this is?" And I looked at it, I said, "That's the sycamore tree. I ain't seen no sign. The only sign I saw was the boy laying in the tree." And I say, "This is the sycamore tree." And he said, "Okay, that's good. That's good." I say, "Well," he said, "Do you know that the sycamore tree is not native to Israel? The sycamore tree actually came in from Africa. It was transported here." He said, "But why would Jesus, allow that to be there, and then Zacchaeus to go in the sycamore tree, and then that story happened according to scripture? Why would it happen like that?" I said, "Well, I don't know." He said, "Well, the sycamore tree, there's something you need to know about it. The sycamore tree is a tree that even when you cut it, within a certain amount of time, it's going to sprout back up." And it's saying, and the sycamore tree, everything on the tree always goes upward. It never goes down. When it sprouts up. And it should just, it might take a few years, but it's going to come up again. I don't care how low you cut it. And he's saying that type's Israel, because no matter how many times we get displaced from our land, we coming back again. Say, well, that type the bride too. No matter how many times we fall, we're going to get back up again. So, you know, we were just, you know, he was just going over some of those things, and, you know, and 70 years has been for Israel they have been accepted as a nation. But it was only 50 years ago that they were in a position, they had the land of Israel, but they didn't have Jerusalem. So in 1967, there was a war that was fought. It was a six-day war, and they went and they reclaimed Jerusalem, you know. But when Israel got Jerusalem, it still was not recognized by everybody as their capital. Now, Israel's fighting for this, and they got it in 6 days, but people don't recognize it as a capital. You know, somebody sent me a quote yesterday where Brother Branham called Jerusalem the capital of Israel. Multiple quotes out there. Brother Randall said, Jerusalem is their capital. Jerusalem is their capital, right? So, you know, when you start looking at these things, and nobody would sign this agreement to acknowledge, you know, Israel, I mean, Jerusalem as Israel's capital. President Trump goes out, very bold statement in the face of everything that he's going through. But he goes out and he actually says that this is the capital and we want to move our embassy here. And I said that was a very, very important move, you know, a very, very important move. Certainly it could trigger some things, you know, as far as uprisings and things of that nature, because there are many. Actually, let me do y'all a favor. Y'all can, I won't have y'all play. I'll let y'all be seated. If y'all would, just give me that picture that I was talking about on Friday night. And I'll preach here. Since we didn't have that many specials, I can talk a little bit longer. Praise the Lord. Y'all gave me a little bit more time, so I'm grateful. I just want you to kind of understand. I did this on Friday night, and I won't go through the whole thing, but I'll just give you a little bit. Just understand what's triggering the uprisings, or what could trigger the uprisings, is the vicinity. You know, Jerusalem is a very, very important city to three groups of people. It's important to the Israelis or the Jews, it's important to the Arabs or Muslims, it's also important to Christians, all right? A very, very important city. So much has happened there in Jerusalem. Jerusalem is where our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, died, is where he rose again. right next to Jerusalem, city right next to it is Bethlehem. That's where he was born, right? And I mean, when I was there going through, it's like Bethlehem was like going from Riviera Beach to West Palm Beach, you know, something like that. It's very, very close. But what triggers, you know, the issues here with this signing, amen, of this or this declaration? If you can just look on this picture here, this is the Western Wall where people go and they pray, you know. I showed a picture to some of the brothers that once this thing was announced by the president, this whole area was just full of people. I mean, people everywhere just singing and praising and thanking God for the declaration that was made by President Trump. Now, so this is the, you know, the Western Wall here. This is, you know, just, you know, pretty much the city of Jerusalem. But this particular area is extremely important. Just to help you understand, this is Mount Moriah. If you're a Bible reader, you understand what I just said. This is where Abraham brought Isaac, right? This is the area. This is the area where Christ died, just outside the city gates. He was outside the city gates. This is where Christ died. This is where something else we'll talk about today happened. But the problem is this Dome of the Rock or Mosque of Omar is a holy site for Muslim people of Muslim faith, and so they don't want to lose this. They have Mecca. Now, they do have Mecca, right? They got that. But Jerusalem mean a lot more to them. So the Muslims would want Jerusalem to be considered their capital. But by President Trump saying, no, we're going to call it Israel's capital. That was big. Because now, you know, there could be an uprise with the Muslims, you know, against this. But I tell you that the Jewish leaders are already kind of saying, look, now, if I can just use modern terms, if y'all don't start nothing, it won't be nothing. Right? That's what he's saying. He's saying, look, now Israel, I mean, we're not kicking nobody out of Israel. We just want it to be known that Jerusalem is ours. Right? It's always been ours. Our prophets were here. Our kings were here. It's always been ours. And now we're so happy that the U.S. is acknowledging that. They're the first ones to come out and acknowledge it. So he said, that's all we say. So we're not trying to get rid of, you know, everybody. We accept everybody's faith and all that. Y'all can continue to do what y'all was doing. But we just want you to know Jerusalem belonged to us, right? So, you know, when he comes out and he says that, they say they'll defend themselves if they need to. But what we're praying, and this is where the scripture tells us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's in Psalms 122. We want to continue to pray for this area. You know, but understand, you know, the significance of what happened here with President Trump signing that agreement. And the other thing that is, there's coming a time, church, where scripture tells us that there'll be two witnesses that'll go back to the Jews. And I read the quote on the other night. They're going to get the same message that we got. Yes, sir. Oh, my. I read it on Friday night. The Jews are going to get the same message. Oh, Lord, I don't want to go all in there. I just shared a quick testimony that we had our tour guide being Jewish. A couple of things he did. We had a service inside of Garden of Gethsemane. First time this man in 37 or 38 trips that Brother George has taken, same tour guide. First time this man has ever actually sat in on one of the services. Because him being a Jew, he has the service that he attends, right? So they don't really go to the Christian church. They do what they do. But he told Brother George, I want to sit in on y'all discussion. And they're like, yeah, come on. So Brother George sitting there in the Garden of Gethsemane, just kind of going through some things, and he began to share a testimony about this tour guide. And the tour guide, one thing that happened, he said there was a sister that had a dream, and she saw in the dream a man with white hair. And as she was looking at this man with white hair, you know, she couldn't understand what was going on. But in the dream, some kind of way, I think either Brother Branham came to her or some kind of way she was told in the dream, don't worry, he's one of us. That man, don't be afraid of that man, he's one of us. So she, you know, she took that to heart. A few months later, she ended up in Jerusalem on the tour, and she sees the man with white hair that was in her dream. It was our tour guide. right? And when she saw him, like, he's one of us. Well, he's Jewish. How could it be one of us, right? But in the dream said, don't worry, he's one of us. Well, this man, that's the tour guide, he had been watching the brother George bring these people for years. They all coming over there, and the way that they dress, they look a little different. They dress what they call like the Orthodox Jews, you know, and baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, like, man, what is it about y'all? He just, you know, kept going, kept talking. And, you know, Brother George took him back to something, because the Jews have a belief that Elijah is going to come. That's their belief. They have a meal at their table. They do this routinely. Every household, they do this routinely. They'll leave an empty chair and they'll at the table, and then they'll send the youngest boy to open the front door of the house and say, now, we're under expectation that Elijah's going to come sit in that chair and join us for this meal, so you go open the door and we'll wait for Elijah. And they've been doing it for years and still doing it, waiting on Elijah to return. The Jews are waiting for Elijah. They're waiting for it. So Brother George began to tell him, say, now, you know how y'all leave that chair and y'all waiting on Elijah to come? He said, you're asking what's the difference about us? I said, well, you know, we have received our Elijah. Brother Branham happened to be the Elijah promised according to Revelation 10:7, Malachi 4, you know, various scriptures, Matthew 17. Say he was the Elijah that was promised. I say, so we have received our Elijah, and he came forth with a message, and, you know, and it turned our heart back to the faith of the fathers. And he said, the other thing is that Elijah happened to be my father-in-law. And the man said, oh, wow. So he said, Brother George, here's the tape. You can listen to it, you know, from him. Just, you can check it out yourself. So the man listened to Brother Branham's tape, and Brother Branham just began to explain some things about Israel, just talking about it on the tape. So the man heard it and came back to Brother George and said, has this man ever come to Israel? He said, no, not one time. He said, well, he's explaining Israel exactly the way it is. He caught it by vision, and he began to explain it. Right. And it's and you know, sometimes the prophet speaking, you got to watch it. Right. Because sometimes he just preaching. You just think he preaching. That's why, you know, thank God he ain't no preacher that grab his ear to get our attention. It's going to take a little bit more than that. Right. I mean, y'all, anybody know about grabbing the ear? I think I done lost somebody. You know, when we come up, the preacher, when he say, I feel my help, I'm glad. Yeah. He go to grab him, oh, Lord. Boy, he starts singing that sermon, like, and everybody get up. And see, when you start listening to the prophet, if you grew up in that type of environment, and you start listening to the prophet, like, oh, man, that just don't, that's, see, you was going to church for entertainment. You weren't going for the word. But when you start going for the word, you stop worrying about something. Jesus didn't have to grab his ear to get his point across. Jesus just said what he needed to say. You say amen or don't say amen, don't matter, right? But you know, I mean, when this man heard it, he's like, yeah, this man, he got to be a prophet the way that he's sharing these things. So this tour guide eventually had a situation come up, and he went here, the Western Wall. It actually goes underneath. You can go underneath it like this and walk along, and you get down to like this area, and on the other side of that would have been the Holies of Holies. So many of the Jews would go to that area because they can't be caught up here. Jews or Christians cannot be caught up here. Only Muslims can go here. You go up there, you might not come back down. So they know to stay away from there. The Jews know that. So they go underneath, and they go right where the Holies of Holies would have been, and they would they pray right there in that spot. So this man, you know, would go. He would offer prayers, and he had one of his daughters was going through a little something, and while they were at home praying, the man had a dream, and in the dream, Brother Branham came to him in the dream, and told him certain things. He said, "You know how you do this? It's gonna be all right." And he saw Brother Branham's house. So when Brother George came a few weeks after the man had a dream, he asked Brother George, what does Brother Branham's house look like? What does this house look like? He said, it looked like this, it looked like that. He said, I saw the house in the dream. I saw Brother Branham. He told me it's going to be all right. And the situation that he was going through with his daughter, it was all right. That man said he believed. that Brother Branham was a prophet. I was there on the Sea of Galilee and heard the man say it. I tried to record it, but I was too late with my camera. But I heard him say it. I believe Brother Branham was a prophet. And we got folk over here. It just blows me away. You over here trying to, Lord, help me, God. I mean, it just don't make sense. And some of the things that we use to try to prove that he's not a prophet. The devil can sell you anything. I mean, come on. Right? So it ain't got nothing to do with no bear. I'm sorry, y'all. It's going to take a lot. I mean, take a stronger win than this. To keep me from my promises. Y'all got to come up with a lot more than that. And my question always now, okay, you're going to take the prophet from it. We know that God said he was sending somebody. Who is the person? You don't even have nobody to give me, but you're going to take this from me. Tell you what, I'm going to keep this until that comes. So, it's just, you hear these things and so much has been prophesied. But what happened with it being 70 years, the key thing I want you to get there, that 70 years is very, very critical. It was 70 years of captivity for Israel when they were in Babylon and they came out. But now Daniel, in Daniel chapter 9, he began to study the time. There was a countdown that was on. And Daniel began to study. What Daniel was doing, the Bible said he went back to the books. What books? The books of Jeremiah.
Right.
He went back to study the prophet.
Yes, sir.
He wanted to know what the prophet said.
Yes, sir.
Oh, my.
Amen.
And we're doing the exact same thing. Exactly. We want to know what the prophet said. I don't want to know what you said.
Amen.
I don't want to know. If it's just your thought, keep it.
Yes, sir.
But we want to know what the prophet said. We eat. We eat food from heaven.
Yes, sir.
That's what our diet is.
Yes, sir.
Right? So tell me what the prophet said, because he has understanding of these things.
Right.
Glory to God, church. But, Daniel was going back to study Jeremiah. Go back to Daniel 9. You'll see it all in there. But he was going to study Jeremiah to see, what should we be looking for. What are things going to be like? And as I'm saying this, church, this decree that was signed, and this being recognized as the capital of Israel, it's going to trigger some things. But the ultimate thing is that before God sends the two witnesses of Moses and Elijah back to the Jews, the Gentiles must be caught away in a rapture. So if this is the beginning of it, if this is the beginning, my question is, where are we? And if we're that close, how should we be acting? What should be our response? And the thing that moves me the most, when you really go back and look at Daniel, as he began to see things happen, Brother Branham said he was at year 68, year 69, year 70. Daniel began to get into a place of prayer. Oh, my God.
Right,
now you see why the prayer meetings are so important.
Uh-huh.
And the thing that he began to enter into prayer, not only did Daniel do that, but Abraham, when he recognized destruction was coming to Sodom and Gomorrah,
yes.
Abraham began to intercede.
Yes.
So what should be happening now? The prayer meeting should be the most full service there is.
Yes.
When I'm talking about when you really got an understanding of what's going on.
That's right.
Now, it's the devil's job to get your eyes off of what God is doing.
Yeah.
And he'll use anything.
Anything.
He'll use anything. Family issues, job issues, you name it. The devil will use it to keep your attention off of what God is doing.
Exactly right. Amen. That's right.
You have to fight. You're going to have to fight.
Amen.
But I tell you what, I'm doing everything I can. Like Brother Branham said in the quote, he said, Daniel began to pray and he began to confess his faults and the people's faults and just getting himself prepared for the return of the Jews. We're trying to get the people prepared for the return of our Lord. And we got to be ready. Church, if there's ever a time This is a time that you do not get your lines tangled up. The prophet said that, please don't get your lines tangled up in times like these. Don't do it. It's difficult. It's too close to the coming of the Lord. So I just want you to understand it was very significant. I can't go through all of that, amen, today. We'll put the tape out there so you can go and listen to it. And if I could just say this, don't be a lazy Christian. A lazy Christian wait for the tape to go up and they try to catch up. Don't do that. If you can make it to church, you need to be in church. It should be a it should be abnormal when you miss church. Not normal. Abnormal. Praise the Lord. And everybody's got something they're going through. We all got it. We all got trials. We all got to press through something, you know. If you got a job that hinders you, pray that God will give you a different job. Right. Ain't nothing wrong with that, right? Lord, give me a different job. I want to be in service. Lord, I need this, right? And we want to be ready, church. That's the bottom line. All right. So let me announce this. Wednesday night, man, we had a preacher from Nigeria, Brother Gideon. Lord Jesus, that man was breaking some bread up here, and we had a wonderful time, you know, with him, and we're so grateful, Brother Wesco. I want y'all to understand what happened there. They shut their service down, and they came here. Now this is the second time Brother Wesco done that. Shut their service down, and they came here to fellowship with us. That was a blessing. Saints from Brother Gene Church came. Saints from Brother Smiley's Church was here. Man, we had a time. And so I knew he was. I forgot to announce to everybody on Thursday that he was going to be preaching at Brother Gene's Church on Thursday night. I went back on Thursday. Man, he started breaking into some other stuff. He was preaching on. The Aaron's rod laying in the presence of God. And he said how overnight that thing began to bud, and God was showing, because people were coming against the prophet in that day too. They always come against prophets. But he said God was showing and identifying who he was with, right? And when Aaron's rod, he said they had to identify the rods, put them in there with their names on it, so we'll know whose is whose. You can't go claiming somebody else's rod. The name is on it, right? So here come this, you know, and overnight, not only does it bloom, amen, it starts blossoming and budding, right? So Aaron's rod, and God vindicated, he said, we were like Aaron's rod. He said, we were cut off from the tree of life. Say, but when we came back into the presence of God, overnight, we began to blossom, and we began to bud. I said, man, that was all right. So we had church there on Thursday night. And Brother Gene just texted me this morning and said, he's coming back tonight, Brother Jack, 6:30. We're going to have Brother Gideon again tonight. So I want to let the church know, if you're free and you can go and, amen, and get into that, I think you'll be blessed, amen, by the service. I know you'll be blessed. I know that for a fact. So if you can, tonight at 6:30, Brother Gene's church, amen, they'll be having service, and Brother Gideon will be preaching. Amen. So you all heard the announcement on To Have in the Whole. This is going to be for our married couples. One of the things that we want to do here as far as ministry for this church, we try to minister to the whole person if we can. Amen. In some areas. So we want to, for marriages, we want to try to do something there. And that'll start in January. That second Sunday, we'll give you the time and everything that'll start. It'll be for the married couples that we'll be meeting. And it'll be a few weeks of meetings that we'll be going through. We call it To Have and To Hold. So just keep that in mind. We're certainly looking forward to that. Amen. So praise the Lord. I think that's all that I need to make mention of. And I will ask you all to turn in your Bibles with me to 2 Samuel 24. Amen. 2 Samuel 24. Praise the Lord. Amen. This is a rather long passage. Amen. Let's stand, all that can stand. And I'm going to just take bits and pieces and read it to you. And hopefully that'll just be enough to give us a background here on 2 Samuel 24. We'll start at verse 1. It says this, and again, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he moved David against them to say, go number Israel and Judah. For the king said to Joab, the captain of the host, which was with him, go now through all the tribes of Israel from Dan even to Beersheba, and number ye the people that I may know the number of the people. And Joab said unto the king, now the Lord thy God add unto the people how many soever they be, 100-fold, and that the eyes of the Lord the king may see it. But why doth my Lord the king delight in this thing? And that's a key word that David is delighting in numbering the people. That's very critical here. It says, verse 4, notwithstanding the king's word prevailed against Joab and against the captains of the hosts, and Joab and the captains of the hosts went out from the presence of the king to number the people of Israel. I'm skipping over to verse 9. Amen. It says, and Joab gave up the sum of the number of the people unto the king, and there were in Israel 800,000 valiant men that drew the sword, and the men of Judah were 500,000 men. And David's heart smote him after that he had numbered the people. And David said unto the Lord, I have sinned greatly in that I have done. And now I beseech thee, O Lord, take away the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done very foolishly. For when David was up in the morning, the word of the Lord came unto the prophet Gad, David's seer, saying, go and say unto David, thus saith the Lord, I offer thee three things. Choose thee one of them, that I may do it unto thee. So Gad came to David and told him and said unto him, shall 7 years of famine come unto thee in thy land? Or wilt thou flee 3 months before thine enemies, while they pursue pursue thee? Or that there be 3 days of pestilence in thy land? Now advise and see what answer I shall return to him that sent me. And David said unto Gad, I am in a great strait. Let us fall now into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are great, and let me not fall into the hand of man. So the Lord sent a pestilence upon Israel from the morning even to the time appointed, and there died of the people from Dan even to Beersheba 70,000 men. And when the angel stretched out his hand upon Jerusalem to destroy it, the Lord repented him of the evil and said to the angel that destroyed the people, it is enough, stay now thine hand. And the angel of the Lord was by the threshing place of Araunah the Jebusite. And David spake unto the Lord when he saw the angel that smote the people and said, lo, I have sinned and I have done wickedly, but these sheep, what have they done? Let thine hand, I pray thee, be against me and against my father's house. And Gad came that day to David and said to him, go up, rear an altar unto the Lord in the threshing floor of Araunah, the Jebusite. And I'm skipping over to verse 22. It says, and Araunah said unto David, let my lord the king take and offer up what seemeth good unto him. Behold, here be oxen for burnt sacrifice and threshing instruments and other instruments of the oxen for wood. All these things did Araunah as a king give unto the king. And Araunah said unto the king, the Lord thy God accept thee. And the king said unto Araunah, nay, but I will surely buy it of thee at a price. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which doth cost me nothing. So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. And David built there an altar unto the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. So the Lord was entreated for the land, and the plague was stayed from Israel. The Lord had a blessing to the reading of his word. Let's just bow in a brief word of prayer. Thank you, God, for the ability to read the scripture. Thank you, God, that the Holy Spirit comes to also give us enlightenment on the things that we've read. So we pray, God, that as you have been a part of our worship, now, God, you'll be a part of this going forth of your word. Continue to quicken understanding and revelation to our hearts. The Bible tells us that the gates of hell won't prevail against the revelation that's in our hearts. So God, help us to have that. If revelation is beyond us, your prophet told us to look up and to ask you for it. So God, I pray that you'd help us to see the things that we need to see today. Forgive us of every sin, every shortcoming, look beyond every fault and see every need. May we, God, push to the side the issues that we're dealing with. All that matters now is going into the presence of God and receiving from him. So it's the devil's job to try to sidetrack us and do all these other things, but help us to keep our attention on thee. If Peter would have kept his attention on him, on you, he would have kept walking. But Lord, so help us, Father, not to sink, but Lord, to keep our eyes on thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated in the presence of the Lord. We will continue our journey. Amen. It happened at Calvary. Amen. This is part three of our journey here. And I'm kind of going back into some statements that I made last week, and then we'll go forward. I want to read just two quotes that go along with some of the statements that I made last week. Here from the message, why it had to be shepherd, why it had to be shepherd. The prophet makes, amen, this statement says, when those seven mysteries, back through those seven church ages, there were seven hidden mysteries. Says, I'm writing a book of it. And a great theologian said to me not long ago, said, Brother Branham, see how Satan will try to jerk you off the road. He said, Brother Branham, you know what? I believe the Lord will reveal to you what we're to do next. Is it, he says, it'll be some great secret that's hid in under these seven seals. I said, no, that isn't it, brother. He said, it'll be something that's not even written in the word. It sounds so spiritual. It'll be something that's not even written in the word. I said, no, you forget. Whosoever shall add one word or take one word away, see, it's already in there, but the reformers has failed to see it. They didn't live long enough to see it. And the ages is over now. We're right here at Laodicea. And remember, the Laodicea age, he was on the outside of the church knocking, trying to get back in. Eve had put her Adam out. I like that. Eve had put her Adam out. God help us. Let us go beyond the camp to find him. Let us suffer without the gates with him. Let us go to him in his death, in his burial, and in his resurrection. For he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we were using, amen, this scripture on last week, Hebrews 13, verse 11 through 13, where it says, for the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. So, you know, the scripture tells us very plainly, when they were offering that burnt offering, the burnt offering had to be given outside of the camp, outside of the gate. So when I was telling you all along that it was certainly the same hill, but not the exact same spot where Isaac was offered and where Jesus was offered. Jesus had to be offered outside the camp, amen, in order to fulfill other scriptures, right? So he was outside the camp as a whole burnt offering for our sins. And verse 13 in Hebrews 13 says, let us go therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. Amen. We got to go unto him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. And I'm going to just tell you something. To be a message believer in this hour, it's almost a reproach. Amen. Amongst them, it's a reproach. But for God, amen, it's a glorious thing that he got some people that will follow his word. Amen. Glory to God. So let me read something here in this message, going beyond the camp. He says, we are invited to go beyond that camp. Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go beyond, let us go to him beyond the gate. Watch, bearing his reproach. What was he reproached for? Not because he was a Methodist or Baptist. I'll assure you that. Not because he was Pharisee or Sadducee, because he was the vindicated word.
Amen. That's the reproach, because he was the vindicated word. Bearing his reproach for what? The vindicated word. That's right. That's what he did. He said, if I do not the works of my Father, don't believe me. If I'm not the answer to all the scripture questions. Says Jesus, and I love this because Brother Solomon just said it here this morning. Jesus of the New Testament was Jehovah of the Old. Glory to God. Exactly right. I believe, as I was telling you here now, some time ago or somewhere in a meeting, it might not have been here. Jehovah of the Old Testament is Jesus of the New. Says when I was going squirrel hunting that morning, and there it was, them three big stems running to one out there right on the mountain, me standing there looking at it, and I drew up close and took off my hat. Laid down my rifle, got up there, and a voice shook the woods, said, Jesus of the New Testament is Jehovah of the Old. Remain faithful. And if I could just tell you to do the same this morning, remain faithful. I don't care what you're going through, church, just remain faithful. Amen. Hallelujah. Keep your eyes on Christ. Remain faithful. So right below there is where the squirrels, amen. Right below there is where the squirrels appeared, then come into existence when there was none there. See, that's the truth. See, it's true. So God knows before who I stand. It's the truth of it. That's right. It's the truth. It's right down in Kentucky, and there's people sitting right here tonight, was present when it happened again. The same thing. Yes, we know it's the truth. Jesus of the Old Testament. Now, he's explaining the situation there of where, Brother Branham was out hunting. And as he was hunting the squirrels, and he could not find any. He couldn't get any. And when he's out there, and the Lord asks him, saying, "Now what you?" It says, "It remind him of scripture." And scripture, if you say to the mountain, "Be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and don't doubt in your heart," you can have what you say. And the Lord said, "Now do you believe that?" And he says, "Yeah, Lord, I believe it." And he say, "You sure you really believe that?" So yes, I believe it. And he says, "Okay, what you hunting for?" He says, I'm hunting for squirrels. So now if you say to the mountain, be thou removed, don't cast and be cast in the sea, don't doubt in your heart, you can have what you say. So okay, say, how many squirrels you want? I want three. He said, where you want them at? I want one to do this, I want to come off this limb and do this and do that, and then I'm gonna shoot it right there. That squirrel come from out of spoken word, it come. Across that limb, he shot it, dropped it. Picked it up and said, "Man, this." He said, "This can't be a vision because visions don't bleed." Right. And he says, "Got to be." He said, "This got to be real." So he say, "Tell me what the next one gonna come from?" He say, "Okay, I want." He said, he asked for it to do something impossible, things that squirrels don't do. He said, "I want this one to do it like this, like that, and I'm gonna shoot it over there." That squirrel come up, shot it, wham. So he say, "Lord," and he said, "Man, this is just really something." I said, I ain't never had no experience like this before." And he saw the two squirrels, and then he said, "Okay, where you want your third one at?" He said, "How you want the third one?" Well, it didn't come in the time that he thought it should come. So he got the two and said, "Lord, I thank you for my two squirrels." And he began to walk away. He said, No. You said three. And if you said three, you're going to have to sit there and wait on the third one." So here, while he's sitting there waiting, that third one finally shows up, and he shoots it. And when he shot it, I believe he went to go find it and couldn't find it. Right. And then he had some situations there where he went back to the camp and began to share it with the brethren, shared a testimony. And one of the brothers, he prayed that night before they went to bed. And the brother prayed a prayer, and in his prayer say, "Lord, if Brother Branham's telling the truth, then let him find the third squirrel. Let him find the squirrel tomorrow." And Brother Branham went to bed with a mind battle. He said, "I just shared, poured out my heart, and this man know that I've never told him anything wrong. Why would he say if I'm telling him the truth? Why would he say something like that?" So he said, he couldn't understand why the brother said that, but if it wasn't for the man, it was for Brother Branham to see if he was going to doubt in his heart. So the next morning, he went out there, and he's like, "Lord, I don't know why I said that," and it came back to him again, saying, "Now you speak where it's going to be." And when he spoke, there that squirrel was sitting right there, where it was supposed to be, and he found the squirrel. But also in that same spot, Brother Branham said, that's where it was revealed to him. In that same area, that's where it was revealed to him that Jesus of the New Testament was Jehovah of the Old. What that did was just start discrediting Trinitarian teachings. Amen. It made us understand that Jesus was not just the Son of God. Jesus was God. That, oh my Lord, I just love saying it, you know. That's why I when people just, you know, the church has been so hooked on telling the story how God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And I say, no, it wasn't just God gave his Son. Don't stop right there. Let them know that God became the Son. And Isaiah 12 tells us that, right? So, you know, but we had to get that type of teaching that Jesus of the New Testament was Jehovah of the Old. And you know what? To accept that type of teaching today, you're going to have to go beyond the camp.
Yes, sir. Amen.
You got to go outside the camp, and you're going to have to bear the reproach of this word. Hallelujah. I'm willing to bear the reproach of this word. You're going to be criticized. You're going to be looked down upon. Amen. You're going to have to go through some serious things in order to hold true to this word. But let me tell you something. Your Lord and Savior went through a lot more than you'll ever have to go through. Amen. And he did it outside of the camp. All right. All right. All right. Let's keep going here. Amen. Today. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right. I want to go here to this message, the revelation of Jesus Christ. I want to kind of shift gears here a little bit. Amen, and bring us into something else. It all happened at Calvary. Amen, it all happened at Calvary. Glory to God. We have brought to your attention over the last few weeks how Abraham offered Isaac, amen, on Mount Moriah, and Mount Moriah happened to be the same hill where, or same vicinity, the same hill. Brother Branham say, the same hill that Isaac walked up was the same hill that Jesus walked up, right? And carrying that wood, the same hill. So, you know, Jesus was offered in the same spot that Isaac was about to be offered. Amen. We also told you how when Jesus was offered outside the camp, it was a place called Golgotha, which meant a heap of skulls, right? Calvary meant the place of skull, right? And here he's dying in this place, and there were some skulls buried there. Hallelujah. And I've heard brothers talk about how Goliath's skull was buried there. And I thank God for that. But Goliath was not redeemable. So I appreciate that. But he wasn't redeemable. But when I found out, and Brother Branham told us, you know, he was there reading a book. And, you know, when I found out that not only was, he said there were many skulls there, but the main skull that happened to be there was the skull of Adam. That was there at the place of skulls. Shem brings it through the ark and places it there at Moriah, at Calvary, at Golgotha. So here the second Adam dies in the same spot that the first Adam is buried, showing that redemption had been completed. What Adam failed to do in the beginning, it's okay, Adam. We're not holding against you. Jesus Christ had completed it.
Yes, he did
it all at Calvary. See, I mean, that everything means something. Everything, every word means something. You know, even in the Bible, their names meant something. That's why when you're having kids, you need to be careful what you're naming them. Hello, somebody. Glory to God. Ain't no message believer should ever name their son Ricky. If you listen to the message, ain't no way you're going to end up with a son named Ricky. Like you know, and there are people, Brother Bram said it mean rat, right? You know, and not only that, you got people today, you know, just pick up the Bible one time. I'm going to find me a name out the Bible, and I'm going to name my child. Don't just do it like that. Read the story about that person before you name them that. Some mama thinks she got a good revelation. I'm going to name my daughter Jezebel. Do you know who she was? She wasn't even a daughter of Israel. Don't just name your kids anything. Just putting stuff together. You better know what them names mean. Come on, somebody. I mean, there's spirits that go along with the name. All right, all right, all right. So, you know, here, you know, we're just trying to bring out how, you know, these various things that happened at Calvary. And now we want to just go a little further here today. If we can, this message here, the revelation of Jesus Christ, the prophet makes the statement, says, oh, if you could only, any man could see the spiritual application of the scriptures and could say that they wasn't inspired, your very action, the very motive, the very objectives of the people, why it proves that the scripture is inspired. To see how God applies those things, just what you do, here's a type of something. It says, like Abraham offering up Isaac, his only son, a type of God giving his son hundreds of years later. How that Joseph was sold and in prison, hated of his brothers and loved of his father. Jesus in type, how the Spirit worked through Joseph, a man, and simply typed the life of Christ perfectly. How David, the son of David, sat on the same mountain when David was rejected as king and went up over the hill, Mount of Olives, looking back, weeping as a rejected king. A few hundred years after that, the son of David climbed the same hill as a rejected king and wept over Jerusalem, the Spirit in type and form. And when you have the opportunity, you know, to go, and I'm speaking this over my whole congregation, when you have the opportunity to go to Israel, you'll see how close the Mount of Olives was to Mount Calvary. You'll see how close, amen, these things were. So when you read or you hear that, and Brother Branham talking about that, it begins to make a little bit more sense to you. David was a perfect type of Christ. There were some other things that Brother Branham said. You know, he said, did you notice one time there was a bear run in and got one of his sheep, and he killed that bear, and a lion run in and got one, and he caught the lion by the beard and took a knife and killed that lion. See, it was sacrificing for his sheep. David, being a shepherd, was sacrificing his life for his sheep. Amen. He was willing to go against a bear. He was willing, amen, to go against a lion. What I'm trying to say is David was willing to put his life on the line.
Yes, sir.
Oh, my God. David knew, he had been taught by his father, that it's a shame for a shepherd to lose a sheep. So as a young boy, that was instilled in him. And he said, I'm not going to let a lion get one of these sheep. I'm not going to let a bear get one of these sheep.
Right.
And I can't remember exactly where it is, but I know in scripture, one of the Old Testament scriptures say, even if the lion got a hold of one of the sheep, and if all that shepherd could do was bring back the ear, he was going to fight just to get the ear of the sheep back. Put his life in danger for the sheep. And if that's not a perfect type of Christ, because he went to a cross to put his life on the line for the sheep.
Yes, sir. Amen.
And he is the chief shepherd of our souls. Thank you, Jesus. He says he was a sacrificing for a sheep. And if he was willing to lay his life down for the sheep, he was a type of the good shepherd. Brother Branham also says, look at David, the son of David. Christ was the son of David. Christ in David. Hated, despised, rejected of his own people, dethroned, went up over the mountain, looking back, weeping because his own even beloved children had turned on him down and dethroned him. It says, and he wept over Jerusalem as he went up. Now, it was the Jews that yell, crucify him, crucify him. You know, let his blood be on us and on our children. They yelled that. But now, and for them to do that, God had to intentionally blind them so that they would not recognize who Messiah was. God had to intentionally blind them. And by intentionally blinding them, that gave the Gentiles, we are the Gentiles, that gave us an opportunity to understand who Christ was. Praise the Lord. But there's coming a time where the Jews are going to hear the same message that you're hearing right now. And their hearts are going to be open to receive who Christ was. And, you know, the Bible says that they'll ask the question, where you get them wounds at? It's in the house of my friends. And they're going to realize the very Messiah that they've been praying for, looking for all these years, had already come, and they crucified their own Messiah. Say they'll go. The Bible says they'll go into mourning. Before that happens, the bride has to get ready for a rapture. Look at it. It says the son of David sitting on Mount Olives, rejected by his own beloved, and sat up there weeping over Jerusalem, said, how oft would I have hovered over you as the hen does her brood, but you have not. Now, I'm going to read something here out of Why Little Bethlehem, just showing how David was a perfect type, amen, on the Lord Jesus. Why Little Bethlehem? He said, David here is a type of Christ, Bethlehem, because Christ is David's son. Here he's standing there crying for a drink of that water. And his desire was a command. His desire David's desire. You understand? David's desire was a command. If David's desire was a command, what about God's desire? It should be a command to us. Right? David, his desire was a command. I said to those who loved him, three of those men pulled their swords and fought 50 miles. All David wanted was just water from a particular well. And because he actually spoke his desire, men fought through the Philistines to go get David just a cup of water from that well. Just a little water from that well. We're going to bring this to David. I mean, it seemed like any water would have satisfied. But David said he wanted from a particular place, and those men, they threw their lives down in order to bring that water to David. Look at it. He says it was a desire. His desire was a command. I said to those who loved him, three of those men pulled their swords and fought 15 miles of men down to that city, while others fought keeping. Them men were gallant fighting men, those Philistines twice their size. Some of them, but they were men gallant who could fight. One of them stood alone, handed, and killed 800 men right around him in one day. They were great men. They trusted God. They had faith in their leader, and they cut his way down through until while some of them cut, and the other one got a bucket of water, and they cut their way back through another 15 miles of men and brought that up to David so he could drink it. Now, David didn't know that they were doing that. Now, the other thing about David, once he got to water and realized that these men had took their lives in their own hands, David just poured the water out as a drink offering to God. Said, I can't drink this. I mean, these men have laid their lives down just for me. So I just got to pour this out to God as a drink offering, right? And look at this. It says here, Christ is represented here in this, both king and warrior, because he cut his way through. He broke the enemy's lines of death. He broke the enemy's lines that we might have eternal life, the waters of eternal life. He come through even to death and took death upon himself and died the death and come back that we might have eternal life. He's both king and warrior. We didn't conquer. It's already conquered. We never conquered death. He conquered death for us. He's our David of this day. He conquered death, Bethlehem's bread and water. We thank God for what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ did for us. He had to conquer death for us. See, the last enemy that had to be destroyed was death. That was the last enemy that had to be destroyed. And now as believers, you know, we don't even fear death because of what Christ did at Calvary. Amen. The last enemy that's going to be under our feet was death. Now we look at death a different way as believers. We call death the buggy. And it's the buggy that actually pulls us into the presence of Almighty God. Hallelujah. Church, I'm excited about that. I thank God for it. Let's look at this. You know, Jesus, amen, was the one. He's our David for today. He conquered death. Amen. He's the one that did that. He's both king and warrior. Now, there was a time where Jesus was debating on whether to take the route of death. That was in the Garden of Gethsemane. Now, I want to pick up something. We want to go back, amen, to our scripture. But we read 2 Samuel 24, but we're going to pick this up in 1 Chronicles 21. So stay with me here. Now, I want to say this ahead of time for my Bible readers. If I got any Bible readers in the house?
Yes, sir.
All right. For my Bible readers that are in the house, if you were to read 2 Samuel 24 and you were to read 1 Chronicles 21, you would find multiple discrepancies. Ooh. I want to just make it very clear, because that way, you know, if you were to read and you come back, Brother Jack, why I say this and why I say that, I'm letting you know ahead of time, before you read it, you will find multiple discrepancies. Now, here is my faith. Regardless of the discrepancies, amen, I still believe the word. And if I can do that with the Bible,
come on, say it.
No matter what you find in this message, I still believe it.
Amen.
Oh, my God, my God, my God, my God. All right, just stay with me here. We're going to pick this up, and First Chronicles 21. And I just want to bring out a couple things to you. We can today. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pick this up. First Chronicles, and I'm going to go to verse 18. I'll leave it for you to read the rest of it. But verse 18 is where I want to read from. It says that then the angel of the Lord commanded Gad to say to David that David should go up and set up an altar unto the Lord in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. And David went up at the saying of Gad, which he spake in the name of the Lord. And Ornan turned back and saw the angel and his four sons with him, hid themselves. Now Ornan was threshing wheat. Now, let me just kind of break in here a little bit there, here and there, as we're just kind of picking up this. I want to give you just a couple things, if I can, before I go further. I'm stopping at verse 20. Just remind me that I'll come back to it. If I could, while you are there at, amen, 1 Chronicles 20, just go to the first verse. And I want you to just notice something here. While we are there. Because when I read for you 2 Samuel 24 and 1, it said, and again, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he moved David against them to say, go number Israel and Judah. Now let's look at 1 Chronicles chapter 21, verse 1. It says, and Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. Now, wait a minute. I see discrepancy here. All right? Because 1 Chronicles is telling me that Satan did this. Amen? But in 2 Samuel 24, it's saying God did this. We got to try to make these things make sense. Now, you know, I was just looking at a little note here, amen, in my Bible, and I love the way they put it. They said, In every event, God and Satan are often involved in everything. Oh, my God. In the same event, you got both God and the devil involved in it. Oh, help me, Jesus. Amen. I don't care what it is that you're going through. You're going to find both opposing forces in the same event. Do you understand? Whether it's getting a job, you're going to find the God and the devil right there in the midst of the job. Amen. Yes, sir. Hello, somebody. Amen. God could be making a way, but the devil going to try to get in there somehow and mess that thing up. Relationships, God and the devil. Amen. You name it, whatever it is, you're going to find them both. Yes, sir. Let me just give you like what the Indian chief said. Are y'all with me this morning? See, you know, Brother Branham was talking about the Indian chief, and the Indian chief was, you know, was there. He had just become a Christian. Now, God is involved in saving the man. You can see God saving the man. Right. But the devil's there to try that man's salvation. Yeah. Right. Say, chief, how you getting along? And he say, pretty bad, pretty good. Say, pretty bad, pretty good. What kind of answer is that, chief? He said, yeah, pretty bad, pretty good. He said, well, could you break it down a little bit more for me? I believe it was a missionary talking to the Indian chief, and he was sharing the story with Brother Branham. He said, pretty bad, pretty good. He said, well, help me understand a little bit more. He says, like, on one shoulder, I got a white dog. And then on the other shoulder, I got a black dog. And he said, both dogs are just talking to me all the time. So he say, well, dog, they say, chief, well, which one of the dogs win, chief? Which dog is winning in your life, chief? Is it the white dog or the black dog? He say, well, the one that's winning it depends on the one that I feed the most. That's the one that wins. See, no matter what it is, in every event of life, you're gonna have evil and good. You're going to have the devil trying to pull you into one direction with God leading you to go somewhere else. Yes. everything you do is going to be that way. Right. Look at it. They say God and Satan are often involved in the same event, but for different causes. They say God is involved so that the believer might be instructed to grow. But Satan is involved so he can try to discredit the believer and also discredit God himself. So when we look at this situation, we can see, amen, there's something that happened here. We want to understand David is trying to number the people. And he delighted in this. Oh, God, y'all work with me here just for a little bit. He delighted in this. What he was doing, trying to count his warriors. He wanted to see how big his army was. There you go. His heart was being lifted up. And he wanted to see how great his army was, how much he had accomplished. You all remember, you know, Brother Felix. I was talking to Brother Felix one time, and I was just blessed by his answer. I say, Brother, he has a business that he runs. And I say, Brother Felix, I say, how many customers you got? He say, Brother Jack, I don't count my customers. I say, huh? Every business owner knows how many customers they got. I'm like, how come you? He say, you remember how David was counting the army? I didn't want to count my customers because whoever God sent me and blesses me to, you know, bless me to do work with, thank God for that. But I don't ever want to count them and try to get my heart lifted up. I say, Brother, I appreciate that. See, now anything we do, we got to stay humble. See, because this is where God and Satan, that's where that battle, because, you know, here you might be doing something for God, but the devil going to be right there to try to elevate you. And when Satan kind of gets your heart lifted up just a little bit, God got to do something to bring you right back down. You got to watch your heart and everything. And sometimes be so humble, you just be missing it. Oh, my God. I mean, you know, and oh, Lord, help us. You know, sometimes people have that fake humility. Y'all know what that is? Yes, sir. They talk real soft. I mean, so soft. The mouse can't even hear them. They talk so soft, that fake humbleness. That's not it. Based on what's coming out your mouth, we know what's in your heart. Right. It's not how soft you talk. It's get that stuff up out your heart. Glory to God. So some things you don't even need to say. No matter how soft it's being said, still don't need to be said. Come on, church. Amen. Glory to God. So David's heart was being checked in this situation. His heart was being checked. Now, I want you to understand the notes that, you know, I got from my Bible here. They said this, says taking the census was not wrong. He wanted to number the people. Taking the census was not wrong because God had already done that. If you go back in the book of Numbers, just think about the title, Numbers. God is actually telling them to number the people, right? So it wasn't taking the census. God had done that. God himself had previously ordered Moses to make two censuses. That's in Numbers 1, chapter 1, and also Numbers chapter 26. However, in this case, Satan seized upon the growing pride of David's heart and to incite him into taking a census, right? So the king might have ground of boasting. God is the controller of all things. He allowed the deed to be done as to bring David to a place of humility and reality. So that's why when you look there in the scripture, and one scripture saying Satan did, another Satan scripture saying God did. No, God allowed Satan to do it. Does that clear up one of the discrepancies? God allowed Satan to do it. That's right. And sometimes God allows Satan to do things to see how we're going to respond. Right. How are you going to react? Right. All right. That's just one of the discrepancies. Now let's go on back to the scripture here and read. I'm going to give you a few more before I break into something else. And another discrepancy in this is... they record in one chapter, one book, only 800,000 valiant men that drew sword, along with 500,000 from Judah. The other scripture says 1,100,000 from Israel and 470,000 from Judah. Our numbers are off here. All right, you'll find these. I'm just pointing them out for you. One of them says 7 years of famine, and the other one says 3 years of famine. Which one is it? Now, I'm going to tell you, after I give these discrepancies, I'm not putting my Bible down. I'm still going to be reading it.
Yes, sir. Amen.
There's reasons for it, and if you want to study it, you can. It's all out there on the internet. You can find why the discrepancies. I mean, people have given their life to try to prove why the discrepancies are there. I'm not focusing on it. I was just telling the church on Friday night, I said, you know, there's people, I could show you quotes on what Brother Branham might have brought in 7 years of tribulation versus 3.5 years of tribulation. I can show you quotes on both sides. Hallelujah. Right? But my thing is, I don't have time to show you quotes on that to try to prove which one is it. The reason, because I'm not going to be here. I'm not going to be in the tribulation. So I ain't studying the tribulation. Here's another one. Well, it said David paid 50 shekels in 2 Samuel 24:24, but 1 Chronicles 21:25 says that David paid 600 shekels for this same property, right? So we see some differences here. Now, one of the reasons why they said it, said what David paid for in Chronicles was the entire area, not just the threshing floor. Right, so the 50 shekels might have been just for the threshing floor where he built the altar, but he also he paid for the entire area, the entire area. David bought the entire area. Now, just stay with me here just a little bit. Now, there's reasons for all of that, and let's just look at this. Let's go back to the scripture in 1 Chronicles chapter 21, verse 20. Now, for me, I believe the devil desires that we focus on discrepancies. I'm not doing that. I just brought it to your attention. I did that intentionally. Because in this message, people are focused on discrepancies. Right? Some of the people are focused on discrepancies. But here in this story, amen, I'm bringing you some of the discrepancies. And I think Satan's desire is that we focus on the discrepancies rather than the element of truth. And what I see in this story is a scarlet thread. And I want us to catch that. There's a scarlet thread, a thread of redemption here. Don't look at the discrepancies. The discrepancies. Look at what God's trying to bring to your attention through this. Oh, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. Hallelujah. I'm at verse 20. So now we understand, you know, David actually chose. The prophet Gad told him that you got to choose what it's going to be, and David chose that it would be, you know, a plague, that God would send a plague amongst the people, and he didn't want to be running from his enemies. He didn't know that. He just put his faith in God, and whatever God decided, that's what he was going to allow to happen. Now let's pick this up. It says, and Ornan turned back and saw the angel. And his four sons with him hid themselves. Now Ornan was threshing wheat. And as David came to Ornan, Ornan looked and saw David and went out of the threshing floor and bowed himself to David with his face to the ground. Then David said to Ornan, "Grant me the place of this threshing floor that I may build an altar therein unto the Lord. Thou shalt grant it me for the full price, that the plague may be stayed from the people." And Ornan said to David, "Take it to thee, and let my lord the king do that which is good in his eyes. Lo, I give thee the oxen, also for burnt offerings." Wait a minute. That word ought to mean something to y'all now.
Yes, sir.
Burnt offering. Remember now, this is going to be the whole sacrifice.
Uh-huh.
And where you have to put the burnt offering? Outside the camp. Oh, my. Hello. Can I give y'all something? Can I have that picture again? This is what Ornan owned. This is what Ornan owned. This is what David wanted. Right here in Jerusalem.
right here in this holy spot. This is what they was. This is what this whole story is all about right here. And if Ornan owned this, and notice now, the angel Lord told David to go to Ornan and purchase this. Don't go anywhere else in the state of Israel. I want you to go to Ornan's house. See, just like I said, he told Abraham, go to Mount Moriah. Specific places to go and do things. David had to go right here and get this from Ornan. Now, notice he had to purchase it. Because Ornan wanted to give it to him, but he had to purchase it. Can y'all bear with me? Just a little bit longer. I'm just dropping these things off. He had to purchase this spot, not have it give it to him.
Right.
All right. I'm just stay with that. Keep that thought. Now, let me go back to the scripture. I'm going back. Where did I stop at? Verse 23, I believe. Ornan said unto David, take it to thee, and let my lord the king do that which is good in his eyes. Lo, I give thee the oxen also for burnt offerings, and the threshing instruments for wood, and the wheat for the wheat offerings, I give it all. And King David said to Ornan, nay, but I will verily buy it for the full price, for I will not take that which is thine for the Lord, nor offer burnt offerings without cost. David said, I can't offer this without a cost. Can I just break into that? Keep me at verse 24. I want to break in that because I was reminded of something that happened in Scripture over in Matthew chapter 4 and also in Luke chapter 4. Jesus was faced with three great temptations. Hallelujah. Brother Branham calls it the three major assaults. Matthew chapter 4, verse 3 through 4, he was told to turn the stones into bread. Satan come and wanted him to use his own power on himself to feed him, want to feed himself. He was hungry. Man gets hungry. He can do almost anything. He'll steal, he'll rob, he'll beg, he'll borrow anything. See, he had that appetite, and Satan used his first great major assault upon him to take his power that he had been given to overcome, come with, and use it on himself. He didn't use it on himself. No, he used it on others. That's right. He used it on others, not himself. It wasn't for him. Though, amen, he could have done it. He certainly could have done it. I'm reading here, amen, out of the message, How Can I Overcome? I'm just reading bits and pieces, so don't try to pull this up. Brother Branham also says in Matthew 4, 5 through 7, Jesus was tempted to be a show-off, right? Says, now, if you want to be something before the people, stand up here on the temple, jump off. See, I'll give you a scripture for it because it's written, he give his angels charge over thee, lest at any time you dash your foot against a stone, he bear thee up to make him a show off, to show his authority. And no true servant of God ever does that. They don't want to be a show off. Now, this was the last thing that happened in this great temptation, this major assault. The third assault was found in Matthew 4, verse 8 through 10. And what was happening here is that he was trying to get Jesus. He was going to give him the kingdoms if he would just bow down and worship him. See, just like David couldn't take this land from Ornan. And now, if you caught it, there's two different names that was mentioned in Scripture. One was Aruna, and one was Ornan. There's reason for that. I'll get to it in a second. But he was trying to get him to buy. I mean, he said, I'm gonna just give it. He said, No, I need to buy it because I can't offer anything. I can't offer burnt offering without a cost. So here in Matthew 4, 8 through 10, he said, I'm gonna give you the kingdoms of this world if you just bow down and worship me. But Brother Branham tells us that what Satan was doing was trying to get Jesus to take a kingdom without a Calvary.
That's right. Amen.
You can have the kingdom without a Calvary. See, Satan wanted Christ to take the kingdom without the cross. Satan wanted to give Christ a kingdom, amen, without having a Calvary. Right? Because of Calvary,
Hallelujah. The price of sin had been paid. And if he had not taken Calvary, we wouldn't be able to sit where we're sitting at right now. So the same way David had to pay something for the same place that Jesus would die on. Jesus had to pay something in order to redeem us. Oh, church, it's so beautiful. It's so beautiful. When you just look at these things, I'm just blessed by it. I'm absolutely blessed by seeing Christ, how he just, his story is just all throughout the scripture. And see, the devil wants you to focus on the discrepancies, but you're missing the scarlet thread. Brother Branham said he wanted a kingdom without Calvary. He says, remember, he was trying to get him to forfeit it without the cross. If he did, we'd be lost. He says he could have took the kingdom, but he must come back. He was tempted to do it now. Death is a hard thing. He was tempted to take his liberty and be the king of the earth without the cross. But if he did, his subjects would have died. Satan would have gladly made that proposition with him. But he said, get behind me, Satan. He didn't do it. Church, I'm so glad that our Lord and Savior did not take the kingdom without the cross. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I thank God for that. Let me just finish up this, amen, this scripture. Glory, glory. And I'm going to bring you in, you know, just bring your attention to a couple other things, if I can. Look at this. It says in verse 24, First Chronicles 21, says, and King David said to Ornan, nay, but I will verily buy it for the full price, for I will not take that which is thine for the Lord, nor offer burnt offerings without cost. So David gave to Ornan for the place 600 shekels of gold by weight. And David built there an altar unto the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings and called upon the Lord. And he answered him from heaven by fire upon the altar of burnt offering. God answered from heaven by fire. Now I want you to understand. Let's go on. Saying the Lord commanded the angel and he put up his sword again into the sheath thereof. So what was happening is that this death angel, because David's heart got lifted up, the death angel began to go all throughout Israel. Going all throughout Israel, men dying everywhere, pestilence had dropped. I mean, and pretty much God wiping out his army. See, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away. That's what David should have been thinking about. But here God's wiping out everybody, and as the angel Lord is approaching Jerusalem, he comes to Jerusalem, and when he gets there, they see the angel Lord getting ready to strike right there. And that's where David began to cry and began to repent. But why was it stopped in Jerusalem? Oh, my Jesus. I want you to think about it. Why did it stop right there in Jerusalem? Why did they find the angel Lord at right above Ornan's threshing floor? Because God knew that that's where, amen, the penalty for sin would be paid is in Jerusalem at the spot where Ornan owned. That's where Calvary was going to be. Oh, my. It happened at Calvary. Stay with me. Stay with me. This, I'm finishing up here in this verse. Verse 26, David built there an altar unto the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings and called upon the Lord. And he answered him from heaven by fire upon the altar of burnt offering. And the Lord commanded the angel and he put up his sword again into the sheath thereof. At that time when David saw that the Lord had answered him in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite, then he sacrificed there for the tabernacle of the Lord, which Moses made in the wilderness, and the altar of the burnt offering were at that season in the high place at Gibeon. But David could not go before it to inquire of God, for he was afraid because of the sword of the Lord, sword of the angel of the Lord. Now the tabernacle was in Gibeon, but the tabernacle was moved to Jerusalem. We'll get into that a little bit later.
Can I tell you a little bit about Aruna? Ornan? This man had two names. In one chapter, in Second Samuel 24, his name is recorded as Aruna. But in First Chronicles 21, it's recorded as Ornan. Now, here's the thing. Ornan meant light of the sun. Light of the sun. He owned the property where we were going to see a dual sunrise. Yes, sir. The SUN would rise one day. But because of Calvary and Jesus rising from the grave, the S-O-N also rose and gave light to mankind. Yes, that's why the man's name was Ornan. The other thing about his name, Aruna, meant ark, song, or curse. When I thought about curse, it came to my heart, Galatians 3:13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Where did that happen at? At Aruna's threshing floor.
Yes, sir. Amen.
So I'm not getting caught up on the discrepancies. Because there's a scarlet thread going right through all the discrepancies, and that's what I'm keeping my eye on. These are the things that happen at Calvary. Amen. Go to Aruna's, by his threshing floor, and not just his threshing floor, but by the whole territory. By the whole territory. And where that mosque of Omar is, that was the territory of Aruna. Let me finish up. That day on Calvary. Listen to this. The one great important thing that Calvary means to us and the world is it settled the sin question once for all. See, that's why Jesus in Matthew 4 and Luke 4, he couldn't take them propositions of the devil. He had to go to Calvary. He could, if he had not gone to Calvary, we would all be finished. Right. He says, Calvary, it settled the sin question once and for all. I love that. That's why when he went to Calvary, you understand, Calvary being the place of skull, Calvary being Mount Moriah, Calvary being Aruna's threshing floor, Calvary. All of this happened at Calvary. And here, he goes to Calvary, and by going there to the place of skull and Adam's skull being there, blood dropping down there right through the cracks, hit Adam's skull, pretty much saying the sin has been settled. Adam, it's no longer against you no more. Amen. The price has been paid. Yes. It all happened at Calvary. That's why the devil could not divert him. All this had to happen there. Listen. The sin question, settled the sin question once and for all. Man was found guilty of sin, and sin was a penalty that no man could pay. The penalty was so great until there wasn't anyone that could pay the penalty. It says, I truly believe that God ordained it that way, that the penalty would be so great that no man could pay it, so he could do it himself. See, there was a penalty paid for David numbering those people. But here God himself knew that there's another scripture. I didn't go all the way through it, but it say God repented himself. I've seen all the shedding of blood. I'm repenting myself. Says you can stay your hand. Told the death angel just kind of stop right there. Don't slay anymore. And where the death angel stopped, You know what? I tell you, I told the Lord that I want to fall more in love with him. And I want to preach to help people fall more in love with Jesus. You can just see him all through the scripture. Nothing is in the Bible by chance or by accident. Everything was very specific. Everything was very specific. He did all that at Calvary. I mean, Aruna probably didn't know. He didn't know. His name meant curse. People got Aruna. They don't know what it is. And then maybe he tell them, don't call me that. Call me Ornan. Both names had meaning. Oh, my Lord, my Lord. Now, the penalty of sin was death. And we were all born in sin, shaped in iniquity. We come to the world speaking lies. Therefore, there wasn't none of us that was worthy, or they could find no one on earth that was worthy. Let me go on to just one other quote here. Out of God, hiding himself in simplicity, then revealing himself in the same. This is just beautiful. The one thing I want to tell you, we all know that David himself shed too much blood and he could not build God a temple. Right. But God did allow David to build an altar on the very same spot that he would be offered. An altar to offer burnt offerings. We you know, David did this, David did, but David did build an altar. Here, let me, I'm God hiding himself in simplicity and revealing himself the same. These little places, David could not build the true tabernacle of God because he wasn't prepared to do it. There was nothing he could do. He was immortal and shed blood. So is it today to us. We're not prepared to build the true tabernacle of God. There's only one can do that, and it's being in its construction now. But this little tabernacle, along with the temple that Solomon built him, and along with the others, are only temporary places of worship until the time comes when the real tabernacle will be set up upon the earth, and righteousness shall reign from sky to sky, and there will be no more sorrow. There will be no funerals preached in that tabernacle. Thank God for that. There'll be no more weddings, for the wedding will be one great wedding for eternity. What a time that will be. Church, I just go back to that picture and just finish this off. I just wanted to show you, amen, just what all this meant. This is why people fighting over this land and everything like that, but this means so much to the Jews. It means so much to the Muslims, and this is why the Muslims, this is what I think, if I'm not mistaken, this represents about 37 acres of land. This is on top of the mountain. This is on top of the mountain. One of the things I found out there, you know, we look at a mountain and like, man, that's just big, you know, but we went to Masada, and when you look at it, just this big rock mountain, just a huge rock mountain. And you wondering how in the world we got caught a cable car. We went up to the top. When we got up to the top, you get up on top of that, all the flat land, just acres of land. They built multiple, they took two, put two palaces up there. And you wonder how did they lose the place, right? But, you know, but here, you know, when you get up to some of these mountains here, it's just all this land on top of the mountain. And this spot, it means so much to the Muslims. It means so much to the Jews. It also means so much to we Christians, because this is where our Lord and Savior, this is where he went. This is where Abraham went. This is where Aruna owned land. All of this is at this same spot. Thank God. Thank God for what happened at Calvary. I just appreciate the Lord. I appreciate the Lord. I'm blown away. So I've already led you into something else. If David could not build an altar here, but he made preparation for his son to build a temple here, this is the same spot where Solomon's temple stood. Wow. So Solomon stood where Calvary is. His temple stood where Calvary is. So that's the next sermon. I'll talk about that. But church, I'm grateful for what my Lord and Savior did at Calvary. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. My, let's pray. Father, I'm just blown away when I look at the scarlet thread of redemption all throughout Scripture. Stories that we've read for years. But God, now you quicken these things to us. You help us to understand what this is truly all about. Why it was even recorded in Scripture. What would be the purpose? Then we see the recordings in both 2 Samuel 24, 1 Chronicles 21. We see these various recordings, and some of the things are a little different. The numbers that are listed are a little different. And it's Satan's job in order to try to get us to focus on the differences. But it's the Holy Spirit that helps us to follow the scarlet thread, not the differences. Does it really matter how many men? What really matters is how many men were counted, or Lord, or whatever else might have happened there. What really mattered is that that place that Ornan owned, the place where Aruna owned, they're the same man, Aruna, Ornan, Father, had the names had different meanings. That same place was where the plague of death was stayed. And there is significance there. Because mankind, Adam's race, we've been plagued by death. One thing that they all, we go all the way back to the beginning, thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemy. Lord, the one thing that they all had a problem with was death. But because of what you did there at Calvary, we no longer have to fear death. Paul said, death, where is your sting? Grave, where is your victory? Thank you, Lord, for Calvary. I pray, Lord, that this means so much more to us. We need to fall more in love with you. My. Satan tried to divert you. He tried to get you to take another path. But no, even though it was tempting for you to receive the kingdoms and everything, he tried to do that without Calvary. Calvary, you knew, would settle the sin question. Calvary, you knew Adam's skull was sitting right there. Calvary, you knew these things. And just as in David's day, the plague of death was stayed because of the altar that was built and the sacrifice that was accepted by God, answer my fire. Also, Lord, we know today that the plague of death is stayed. And we can come boldly into your presence because we have accepted what happened at Calvary. Lord, we praise you, and we thank you, and we glorify you. We exalt you for who you are. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen. I encourage you, if you don't know Jesus, get to know him. Get to know him as soon as possible. Give him all your heart. The Bible says that as many as believed on him, to them he gave power to become sons of God. I encourage you, believe on him. Serve him with everything you got. If you've never repented of your sins, you find yourself a place where you can just repent and be real with God. Ask him to forgive you of your sins. Serve him with everything you got. It's worth it. It's worth it. Brother Solomon, would you come and close us out on today? Amen. God bless you, church. God richly bless you. Amen. Jesus came and did it just for me. Anybody believe that? We were there in Jerusalem, and I can't remember exactly where it was. But I was asked to just lead in a word of prayer. I think I might have been right there at the Garden Tomb. And when I opened my mouth in a word of prayer, I said, it's either Garden Tomb or Garden of Gethsemane. I can't remember exactly where. But my prayer was, God, I'm a little selfish right now. Because I stand here in this place. I'm selfish. Selfish enough to think that you would have came all the way from glory to bring redemption story if it was only me. If I was the only person that needed it, you would have did it just for me. And I just told God how much I appreciated it. I appreciated that, Lord, that he would leave his cross, he would leave his throne and come down and just do something like that just for me, church. I believe this morning there's some others that are in this place this afternoon. You feel the same way, that he would have done it just for you. I encourage you, whatever you do, fall more in love with Jesus. Just love him more every day. Love the Lord Jesus as much as you possibly can. He loves you. He loves you dearly. Just for me. Stand to your feet and help me sing it. Jesus came and did it just for me.
Just for me.
redemption story, Lord. And Father God, it was in the back of your mind, Lord, that you will become the Lamb. And the Lamb will be slain before the foundation of the world. But when the reality came, oh Lord, Father, you became a man, Lord, to remove the curse from we, your children. Father God, now we are blessed people to hear the things that we hear, to see the things that we see. Lord, to see that your coming is nigh at hand. Father, as we think on the things that's transpiring over in Israel, Lord, we see how you use one president, Lord, to open the doors wide, Lord, that the days of Sodom and Gomorrah could be in this land today, Lord God. And then you turn right around, Lord, to have another president, Lord, declare Jerusalem to be the capital of Israel. And we see the Jews at the Western Wall crying out to you. Father, there was another time when they cried out, Lord, and you sent the deliverer. Lord, you promised that you would send Moses and Elijah to Israel again. They're crying out as they cried before. You heard their cry. Father, we must now make ready, Lord. For Lord God, we know that you're coming in his hand, and our bodies must be changed, Lord. Your bride must make herself ready, Lord, by feeding on this word. And we're so grateful that you provided it for us. You do all things well. Father, we want to thank you for the message that we've heard this morning. Lord, we receive it gladly. And we pray, oh God, that you continue, Lord, to unfold your word to us. Grant more revelation to us. Increase our faith, Lord. Give us that rapturing faith that we need to obtain the body change that we so desire, that we may have a body, Lord, that can contain the praises that we'll offer up to you when we meet you in the air. Father, as we leave this place, Lord, we take your divine presence with us, Lord. Keep your children safe and out of harm's way, Lord. Bless our coming in and our going out, Lord. And we'll be careful to give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. It's in Jesus Christ's name we ask it. Amen.